Chapter 18. Hung Upside Down. Vader stood ominously motionless in the illuminated cargo hold of the YT freighter, breathing deeply and looking as if he was ready to draw his lightsaber and cut everything around him to shreds. Tarkin, too, thought it unlikely they were going to discover anything of interest among the haphazardly stacked shipping crates, but he was willing to have a look nonetheless. The foul-smelling and disheveled old ship sat in the glare of spotlights in one of the Star Destroyer's ancillary hangars, like some stultified and wary insect. Circular in design, with an outrigger cockpit sandwiched between a pair of rectangular mandibles, the Reticent had seen better days a century earlier, and was now barely spaceworthy. The cargo ramp beneath the cockpit had been lowered, and glow rods set up inside and out to flood the hold with light. Vader and Tarkin's cursory search had revealed consignments of tools, medical supplies, bolts of fabric, trays of gaudy costume jewelry, tankfuls of alcoholic beverages, and droid parts. Recording devices and scanners in hand, Lieutenant Crest and two other stormtroopers, all three without helmets or armored plastrons, were following Vader and Tarkin as they nosed around. The Reticent was the only ship to have been sequestered following the catastrophe at the edge of Obroa Sky space. The rest that had fallen victim to the faulty interdiction field had been checked out and allowed to go on their way, which for most of them meant directly to the system's namesake planet for repairs, after collisions with escape pods and debris from the wrecked Mon Cal Starcruiser. That ship, and the detainer, had also been towed to Obroa Sky, with the death toll from the crash estimated at 1,100 beings. The state-of-the-art immobilizer, whose fail-safes had malfunctioned, had been returned to Corellian Engineering for reassessment. Legitimate holovids of the events had flooded the holonet, most of them cammed by passengers aboard the luxury liner, and by media teams who had received word from unidentified sources of an Imperial operation taking place at the periphery of the star system. As for Carrion Spike, she had yet to turn up in any system. By the time the task force's fastest frigate had reached Thustra, Tarkin's rogue ship had already jumped to unknown space. Crest was reading from a datapad. "The ship's identification signature doesn't appear to have been altered. It hasn't even changed names in decades. The crew acquired it 3 years back from a dealer on Lantilles. The itinerary we sliced from the Navi computer corroborates the captain's story. They jumped from Taris to Thustra to pick up replacement parts for a fleet of Sephi flyers that was sold in bulk at the end of the war to an Obroa Sky emergency medevac center." "How was the pickup and delivery arranged?" Tarkin asked. "Through a broker on Lantilles, maybe the same dealer in pre-owned ships. He gets a line on what's needed, when and where, and dispatches crews to make the transfers." "The Reticent's crew are freelance operators?" Crest nodded. "They describe themselves as itinerant merchants."
"Where were they bound after Obroa Sky?"
Vader wanted to know.
"To Nab," Crest said. "To buy foodstuffs. Parties at Thustra, Obroa Sky, and Tanab have substantiated all this."
"And the communications aboard?" Tarkin asked. Crest turned to him.
"It isn't set up to record incoming or outgoing transmissions, but the log checks out, at least in terms of supporting the captain's claims about who contacted them and where the freighter was at the time."
Vader scanned the hold as if in search of something unspecified.
"How long did they spend at Thustra?"
3 hours, Lord Vader."
Vader glanced at Tarkin.
"What, I wonder, was their rush?"
Tarkin considered it.
"Apparently the goods, the flyer replacement parts, were already crated and waiting for them. The med center on Obroa Sky had requested that they expedite the delivery."
He fell briefly silent.
"The Reticent's hyperdrive is vastly inferior to that of the Carrion Spike. No better than a Class 5, I would imagine. That means that even though they arrived in the Obroa Sky system at almost precisely the moment we were expecting the Carrion Spike, The reticent had to have gone to hyperspace much sooner than the Carrion Spike would have. The timing could owe to nothing more than coincidence. But one question to ask is just what the dissidents were doing in the Thustra system for so many hours.
Vader had swung abruptly to Tarkin on the word coincidence, and now the Dark Lord was in motion, pushing crates aside as he stormed about, without actually touching any of them.
This ship rendezvoused with the Carrion Spike. I'm certain of it.
Tarkin threw Crest a questioning look.
If so, Lord Vader, the stormtrooper said, there's no evidence of the ships linking up, no evidence in the comm board showing intership communication, and no evidence in the docking ring's airlock memory showing that the reticent was umbilical to another ship.
Vader took a moment to reply, and when he did, it was to pose a question to Tarkin.
Why would the dissidents elect to send us a ship in any case?
Tarkin smiled faintly, aware that the question was rhetorical.
To throw us off the scent, if I recall your phrase correctly. To give us plenty to deal with while they're busy making plans to strike elsewhere.
Vader turned and proceeded to the cargo hold ramp.
Let us see what the captain of this scrap heap has to say for himself. You are not an itinerant merchant, Captain,
Vader said, gesticulating with his right hand.
You are in league with a group of dissidents intent on destroying military installations as a means of undermining the sovereignty of the Empire.
A Korovar with a long cranial horn, the reticent's naked and shackled captain, was suspended a meter overhead, captive of a containment field produced by a device whose prototype had been manufactured on Geonosis long before the war. As far as Tarkin knew, the Executrix was the only capital ship in the Imperial fleet to have such an appliance, which created and maintained the field by means of disc-like generators bolted to the deck and to the ceiling directly above.